Good
Gabriella.
evening, sir.
We'll be starting momentarily.
Okay.
Janet, the handout is on the table. And since I have time limitations with the caregivers, I'm going to start right on time, which is now. I hope you don't mind.
Right. Muting.
Good afternoon, good evening. On the table, you'll find the handout. Tonight we say three blessings. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kiddushanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu al mikra Megillah. And we all say Amen. Baruch Atah Adonai
has joined.
Eloheinu melech haolam she'asah
has joined.
Mitim la'avoteinu bayamim ha'hem bazman hazeh. And we all say Amen. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehechianu v'kiyamanu v'higianu lazman hazeh. And we
has joined.
Say Amen. I will say the first verse in each chapter in Hebrew and then translate and read most of the Megillah in English. We will be discussing the Megillah as we go along, but the main idea of why we read the Megillah Esther is built into the name. The word Megillah means revealed. The name Esther means concealed. Megillah Esther is to reveal the concealment. What is being concealed? Hashem. Hashem is behind every action, but you don't see it. Just like most people in America and in Israel today do not see Hashem in their life. But he's there, and you just have to ask to talk to him, and he will listen, or she will listen, or it will listen. Vayehi bimeim Achashverosh, hu Achashverosh amolech michodu. Kush Sheva Vesrim Umea Medina. Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus. This is Ahasuerus who reigned from India even unto Ethiopia over 127 provinces. The Kabbalah explains that the reason that we needed to know 127 provinces is because Sarah, our mother, Sarah, when she died, was 127 years old. And it's to tell us to make the connection that the reincarnation of Sarah was into Esther. That in those days, when the king Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan, the castle. Whenever you hear the word King Ahasuerus, it's talking about the man. If you just hear the word king, it's talking about Hashem. In the third year of his reign, he made a feast unto all his princes and his servants, the army of Persia and Media, the nobles and princes of the provinces, being before him. When he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the honor of his excellent majesty, many days, even 104 score days, to translate 104 score is 180, that's 6 months. Every night for
has
6 months,
joined.
King Ahasuerus had a party to celebrate his marriage to Vashti and to celebrate his ascendance to the throne, which he had purchased because he was a very wealthy man. But he was a commoner, and Vashti was a princess. She was a daughter of the previous king. They didn't get along. And when these days were fulfilled, the king made a feast unto all the people that were present in Shushan, the castle, both great and small, 7 days in the court of the garden of the king's palace. So he had 6 months of parties, and then he made a week of parties in his hometown. And everybody was invited. Why? He was a king, he can do anything, but he was a commoner. He wanted to do away with the structure of the hierarchy of government. That is one theory that's presented in the Talmud. There were hangings of white, fine cotton, and blue, bordered with cords of fine linen, and purple upon silver rods and pillars of marble. The couches were of gold and silver upon a pavement of green and white and shell and onyx marble. Why do we need to know this? I couldn't hear you. Perhaps that is a good answer, but there's another answer. We're reading in the parasha of Tetzaveh the clothing of the Kohen Gadol, the high priest. And last week we read the parasha of Truma. And in that, it's describing the items that we donated for the Mishkan in the desert. These same items is what are being talked about here. It's a hint to us that what he did, because Persia had conquered Jerusalem, taken the Jews into slavery, and it's now 60-some years later, and there's a prophecy that's in 70 years, the Jews will return to the land of Israel. And they miscalculated, and he thinks the Jews can't return. So he's taking out the booty that he took out of the temple, the clothing of the high priest, and all of the things that were part of the Mishkan that were then in the temple. And then the question is, we know with the story that Haman is a horrible man, and he wants to kill all the Jews. Why he wants to kill all the Jews is one subject. But why did the Jews receive the spiritual decree to be killed? Why was it allowed? The answer is they attended these parties. And when he came out in the clothing of the high priest, they didn't say anything. They were afraid to stand up and say, this is not right because of the holiness. And you're abusing holiness. And when you do that, there's consequence. Verse 7. And they gave them drink in vessels of gold, the vessels being diverse one from another, and royal wine in abundance, according to the bounty of the king. And the drinking was according to the law. None did compel, for so the king had appointed to all the officers of his house, that they should do according to every man's pleasure. Also Vashti, the queen, made a feast for the women in the royal house, which belonged to King Ahasuerus. On the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehuman, Bizetha, Harbona, Bigtha, and Abagtha, Zetar, and Carcass, the seven chamberlains that ministered in the presence of Ahasuerus, the king. Each of these names relate to a negative angel. To bring Vashti, the queen, before the king with the crown, royal crown, to show the peoples and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look upon. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's mitzvot, command, by the chamberlains, and therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him. Why did she refuse? Because they didn't get along. She was a princess, and she looked down on him as a commoner. There's another midrash that says he wanted her to come nude to show off her beauty, and she refused. Verse 13. Then the king said to the wise men who knew the times, astrology, for so was the king's manner toward all that knew law and judgment. And the next unto him was Karshina, Shetar, Admata, Tarshish, Meris, Marsena, and Mumukan, the seven princes of Persia and Media, who saw the king's face and sat the first in the kingdom. These were his advisors. What shall we do unto the queen Vashti according to law? Forasmuch as she has not done the bidding of the king Ahasuerus by the chamberlains. And Memucan answered before the king and the princes, Vashti the queen has not done wrong to the king only. Now, Ahasuerus is not in that sentence. Vashti has not done wrong to Hashem only, but it's really Ahasuerus. But since they are married, they are considered one soul. But also to all the princes and to all the peoples that are in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus. For this deed of the queen will come abroad unto all women, to make their husbands contemptible in their eyes, when it will be said, the king Ahasuerus commanded Vashti the queen to be brought in before him, but she came not. The men were afraid that the women would not listen to them anymore. And this day will the princes of Persia and Media, who have heard of the deed of the queen, say the like unto all the king's princes. So will there arise enough contempt and wrath. If it please the king, let there go forth a royal command from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes, that it be not altered, that Vashti come no more before King Ahasuerus, and that the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than she. And when the king's decree, which he shall make, shall be published throughout all his kingdom, great though it be, all the wives will give to their husbands honor, both to great and small. And the word pleased the king and the princes, and the king did according to the word of Memucan. For he sent letters into all the king's provinces, and into every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, that every man should bear rule in his own house, and speak according to the language of his people. Chapter 2, verse 1 in Hebrew.
Has joined.
Achar hadvarim ha'ele kishoch tachamat ta'amelech Ahasuerush zakar et Vashti v'et asher asita v'et asher nigzar alecha. After these things, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus was assuaged, he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what was decreed against her. Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, let there be sought for the king young virgins fair to look upon. You'll notice that Ahasuerus' name is not in that verse. Hashem is telling, making the beauty contest to happen. And let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather together all the fair young virgins into Shushan the castle, to the house of the women, unto the custody of Haggai, the king's chamberlain, keeper of the women, and let their ointments be given them. And let the maiden that pleases the king be queen instead of Vashti. And the thing pleased the king, and he did so. Again, we don't have Ahasuerus. There was a certain Jew in Shushan, the castle, whose name was Mordechai, the son of Yair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captives that had been carried away with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. The reason you're getting this lineage is to explain to you that even though Mordechai had been sold into slavery, the slavery came to an end during the 60 years or so, and he was appointed in Jerusalem the head of the Sanhedrin that still existed, even though the Jews had been carried away. There was still a Sanhedrin operating in Jerusalem, and Mordechai was the leader of it. And he brought up Hadassah. You know who Hadassah is? It's Esther. That's her real name. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maiden was of beautiful form and fair to look upon. And when her father and mother were dead, Mordechai took her for his own daughter. So it came to pass, when the king's mitzvot commandment and his decree was published, and when many maidens were gathered together into Shushan, the castle, to the custody of Haggai, that Esther was taken into the king's house, to the custody of Haggai, keeper of the women. And the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him. And he speedily gave her her ointments with her portions. And the seven maidens who were meet to be given her out of the king's house. And he advanced her and her maidens to the best place in the house of the women. Esther had not made known her people nor her kindred, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not tell it. We discussed this with the rabbi on Thursday, why Esther did not identify herself as a Jew. Now, when the turn of every maiden was come to go in to King Ahasuerus, after that it had been done to her according to the law for the women, 12 months, for so were the days of their anointing accomplished, to wit, 6 months with oil of myrrh, and 6 months with sweet odors, and with other ointments of the women. It was a long process to be capable of meeting with the queen, with the king, Ahasuerus. When then the maiden came unto the king, whatsoever she desired was given her, to go with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house. In the evening she went, and on the morrow she returned into the second house of the women, to the custody of Shagaz, the king's chamberlain, who kept the concubines. She came in unto the king no more, except the king delighted in her, and she were called by name. This is where you understand, if you go into the king without being called, it's a death penalty. Now, when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abigail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king, she required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all of them that looked upon her. So Esther was taken unto the king Ahasuerus into his house royal in the 10th month, which is the month Tevet, in the 7th year of his reign. The month of Tevet is not a positive month. The reason it's not positive is because that's the time when the wall of Jerusalem was breached, and other negative things that happened during that month. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight, more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Then the king made a great feast unto all his princes and his servants, even Esther's feast, and he made a release to the provinces, and gave gifts according to the bounty of the king. And when the virgins were gathered together the second time, and Mordecai sat in the king's gate, Esther had not yet made known her kindred, nor her people, as Mordecai had charged her. For Esther did the mitzvot, the commandment of Mordecai, like as when she was brought up with him. In those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthan and Teresh, of those that kept the door, were wrought and sought out to lay hands on the king Ahasuerus. And the thing became known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther the queen, and Esther told the king thereof in Mordecai's name. This is how we know that Mordecai was ahead of the Sanhedrin, because the way of the Sanhedrin was you had to learn one of the 70 languages to be in the Sanhedrin. And as you progressed forward, as the oldest died, or you were found to be more wise than the man in front of you, you learned another language. So that to become head of the Sanhedrin, you had to know all 70 languages. And these two brigands, but who were working for King Ahasuerus, spoke a language. Mordecai understood it. That's how it became known. And the thing became known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther the queen, and Esther told the king thereof in Mordecai's name. And when inquisition was made of the matter, and it was found to be so, they were both hanged on a tree, and it was written in the book of the Chronicles before the king. Chapter 3, the first verse in Hebrew. Achar hadvarim ha'ele gidal ha'melech Ahasuerus et Haman kafetav. Ben hamdata ha'agagi vanasehu viyasem et kiso me'al kol hasarim asher ito. After these things did King Ahasuerus promote Haman kafetav, the son of Hamedata, the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed down and prostrated themselves before Haman, Kaf-he-taf. For the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not down nor prostrated himself before him. Why didn't Mordecai bow down? Because the children of Israel are commanded in the Torah not to bow to idols. And a human being is considered an idol if you bow to it. Then the king's servants that were in the king's gate said unto Mordecai, why transgressest thou the king's commandment? Now it came to pass, when they spoke daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman, Kaf-he-taf, to see whether Mordecai's words would stand, for he had told them that he was a Jew. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not down, nor prostrated himself before him, then was Haman, Kaf-he-taf, full of wrath. But it seemed contemptible in his eyes to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had made known to him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore Haman, Kaf-he-taf, sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. In the first month, which is the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of the king Ahasuerus, they cast pur, which are lots. That is the lot before Haman, Kaf-he-taf, from day to day, and from month to month, to the 12th month, which is the month of Adar. And Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the peoples in all the provinces of thy kingdom, and their laws are diverse. From those of every people, neither keep they the king's laws, and therefore it profits not the king to suffer them. There are three reasons that we discussed on Thursday how Haman was selling to the king Ahasuerus, why you should kill these people, even though they were successful They were rising. They'd come out of slavery and were showing the idea that they could produce and rise. And Ahasuerus, who was a commoner, wanted to promote people on merit, not on the hierarchy of the lords and ladies and so forth. If it please the king, let it be written that they be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver into the hands of those that have the charge of the king's business, to bring it into the king's treasuries. And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedata, the Agagite, the Jew's enemy. Kapheta. And the king said unto Haman, Kapheta, the silver is given to thee, the people also, to do with them as it seems good to thee. Ahasuerus did not accept the silver, the 10,000 talents, which is literally a fortune, more than a fortune. It's 100 fortunes. But he didn't accept it. He gave it back to Haman, which is an indication of how fearful he was of being overthrown, which is the way Haman presented it to him. Verse 12, then were the king's scribes called in the first month on the 13th day thereof, and there was written according to all that Haman, Kapheta, commanded unto the king's satraps, and to the governors that were over every province, and to the princes of every people, to every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, in the name of King Ahasuerus, was it written, and it was sealed with the king's ring. And the letters were sent by post into all the king's provinces, to destroy, to slay, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. This decree also said that it was illegal for the Jewish people to defend themselves against these mobs. The copy of the writing to be given out for a decree in every province was to be published to all peoples, that they should be ready against that day. The posts went forth in haste by the king's commandment, and the decree was given out in Shushan, the castle. And the king and Haman, Kapheta, sat down to drink, but the city of Shushan was perplexed. Chapter 4. Umardachai yada et kol asher na'asa vayikra Mardachai et begadav vayilbash sak ve'aifer vayetze betoch ha'ir Vayizak ze'aka gedola umara. Now when Mordechai knew all that was done, Mordechai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and a bitter cry. And he came before the king's gate. Ahasuerus is not mentioned. This is Hashem's gate. You know where that is? It's in Jerusalem. For none might enter within the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting and weeping and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. And Esther's maidens and her chamberlains came and told it to her, and the queen was exceedingly pained, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and to take his sackcloth from off him, but he accepted it not. Then called Esther for Hatach, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend unto her, and charged him to go to Mordecai to know what this was and why it was. So Hatach went forth to Mordecai unto the broad place of the city, which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, and the exact sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. Also he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given out in Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king, to make supplication unto him, and to make request before him for her people. And Hatach came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Then Esther spoke unto Hatach and gave him a message unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court, who is not called there in one law for him, that he be put to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai bade them to return answer unto Esther. Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than any other Jew. For if thou altogether holds thy peace at this time, then will relief and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house will perish, and who knows whether thou art not come to royal estate for such a time as this. There are laws of reincarnation. One of them has to do with this paragraph. There are certain corrections, tikkunim, that any person in the world has to do. There are corrections that only that person can do. But then there are corrections that the same group of people who were associated with the body part when they were incarnated as part of Adam. Those people, as a group, have the responsibility to do that tikkunim. That's what Mordecai is saying here. Perhaps you've been put in this position to fix this, but even if you are not, someone else will come and fix it. But it's up to you to make this choice, your free will choice, to risk your life. Then Esther bade them return answer unto Mordecai. Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast in like manner, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. verse 17 of chapter 4. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Chapter 5, verse 1 in Hebrew. Vayhi bayom ha-shilishi, petil ba-shester malchut, vata-amod ba-chatzar beit ha-melech, ha-pnimit no-kach beit ha-melech, ve-ha-melech yoshev al kisei malchuto. Bevet ha-malchut, no-kach petach ha-bayit. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the entrance of the house. Did you see Ahasuerus in this verse? Not there. So what is it talking about? It's talking about Hashem. But his name is not there. And it was so when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto her, Bar Ahasuerus, what wilt thou, Queen Esther? For whatever thy request, even to the half of the kingdom, it shall be given thee. And Esther said, if it seem good unto the king, let the king and Haman, Kafetah, come this day unto the banquet that I have prepared for him. Do you see the two dashes in the middle of the second line of the Hebrew? The Hebrew words are Yavo, Hamelech, the Haman, Kafetaf, Hayom. The first letters of those four words, Yud, He, Vav, Hey. Hashem's name is not in the scroll. It's not in the story. But it is, right there. The Kabbalah teaches us to look at first letters of Hebrew words and phrases to see what secrets are there. Hashem is very much involved in this particular verse. You've been offered half the kingdom. And what do you ask for? Come to dinner. Doesn't make sense, does it? This is what we talked about Thursday with the rabbi. Verse 5. Then the king said, cause Haman, Kafetah, to make haste, and it may be done as Esther has said. So the king and Haman came to the banquet that Esther had prepared. And the king said unto Esther at the banquet of wine, whatever thy petition, it shall be granted thee, and whatever thy request, even to the half of the kingdom, it shall be performed. Then answered Esther and said, my petition and my request is, if I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman, Kafetaf, come to the banquet that I shall prepare for them, and I will do tomorrow as the king has said. Again, she's offered half the kingdom, and she invites him to dinner. Doesn't make sense. Then when Haman, Kafetaf, forth that day joyful and glad of heart, But when Haman, kafetah, saw Mordecai in the king's gate, that he stood not up nor moved for him, Haman, kafetah, was filled with wrath against Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman refrained himself and went home. And he sent and fetched his friends and Zeresh, his wife. And Haman recounted unto them the glory of his riches and the multitude of his children and everything as to how the king had promoted him and how he had advanced him above the princes and servants of the king. Haman, kafetah, said moreover, yes, yea, Esther, the queen, did not let no man come in with the king and unto the banquet that she had prepared, but for myself. And tomorrow also I am invited by her together with the king. Haman's feeling proud of himself. He thinks he's being honored. Yet all of this avails me nothing so long as I see Mordecai, the Jew, sitting at the king's gate. Then said Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends to him, let a gallows be made of 50 cubits high, and in the morning speak thou unto the king, that Mordecai may be hanged thereon. Then go thou in merrily with the king unto the banquet. And the thing pleased Haman, kafetah, and he caused the gallows to be made. Was that a great suggestion by your wife? Build a gallows so you're going to be hung. Chapter 6, first verse in Hebrew. Balaila hahu nada. Shuvna HaMelech Vayomer Lehavio Et Sefer HaZikronot Divrei HaYamim Vayu Nikraim Lifnei HaMelech. On that night could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the books of the records of the chronicles, and they were read before the king. And on Thursday, the rabbis suggested, why couldn't the king sleep? Why couldn't Ahasuerus sleep? Because he's afraid of being assassinated, like all kings, all important people. They have to guard their wealth, they have to guard their person. And now he's saying, what's going on between Esther and Haman that she invites him along with me and they were the only two in the dinner? Yeah. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, those that kept the door, who had sought to lay hands on to the king Ahasuerus. And the king said, what honor and dignity has been done to Mordecai for this? Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, there is nothing done for him. And the king said, who is in the court? Now Haman was come into the outer court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. And the king's servants said unto him, behold, Haman stands in the court. And the king said, let him come in. So Haman came in, and the king said unto him, what shall be done unto the man whom the king delights to honor? Now Haman said in his heart, whom would the king delight to honor besides myself? And Haman said unto the king, kafetah. We missed a few kafetahs here. And for the man whom the king And Haman, Kaphetoph, said unto the king, for the man whom the king delights to honor, let royal apparel be brought which the king uses to wear, and the horse that the king rides upon, and on whose head a royal crown is set. And let the apparel and the horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man therewith, whom the king delights to honor, and cause him to ride on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor. Then the king said to Haman, Kaphetoph, make haste and take the apparel and the horse, as thou hast just said, and do even so to Mordecai the Jew, that sits at the king's gate. Let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken. Then took Haman, Kaphetoph, the apparel and the horse, and arrayed Mordecai, and caused him to ride through the street of the city, and proclaimed before him, thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delights to honor. And Mordecai returned to the king's gate. But Haman, Kaphetoph, hastened to his house, mourning and having his head covered. And Haman recounted unto Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends everything that had befallen him. Then said his wise men and Zeresh, his wife, to him, if Mordecai, before whom thou hast begun to fall, be of the seed of the Jews, thou shalt not prevail against him, but shall surely fall before him.
What are you making?
While they were yet talking with him, came the king's chamberlains, and hastened to bring Haman, Kaphetoph, unto the banquet that Esther had prepared. Chapter 7, first verse is in Hebrew. Vayavo ha-melech v'haman kafetaf lishtot im hester ha-malka. So the king and Haman, Kaphetoph, came to banquet with Esther the queen. And the king said again unto Esther on the second day at the banquet of wine, whatever thy petition, Queen Esther, it shall be granted thee, and whatever thy request, even to the half of the kingdom, it shall be performed. Then Esther the queen answered and said, if I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given to me at my petition, and my people at my request. She didn't mention Ahasuerus' name. Esther, the concealment is requesting of Hashem to remove the decree. Verse 4, for we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. But if we had been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I had held my peace, for the adversary is not worthy that the king be endamaged. Then spoke the king Ahasuerus and said unto Esther the queen, who is he, and where is he, that does presume in his heart to do so? And Esther said, an adversary and an enemy, even this wicked Haman. Kaphetoph. Then Haman, Kaphetoph, was terrified before the king and the queen. And the king arose in his wrath from the banquet of wine and went into the palace garden. But Haman, Kaphetoph, remained to make request for his life to Esther the queen. for he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. And we studied on Thursday this idea that Haman is coming over and trying to get Esther to do him mercy and help him with the king. Verse 8. Then the king returned out of the palace garden into the palace of the banquet of wine. This phrase, banquet of wine, is the hors d'oeuvres before the dinner. And Haman, Kafetath, was fallen upon the couch whereon Esther was. Then said the king, will he even force the queen before me in the house? As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. Kafetath. Ahasuerus comes into the room again. He's made up his mind, but he's really still in a quandary because this is a wealthy man, and this is his advisor. So he's not really clear on what to do, and what does he see? It looks like Haman is accosting his queen. So his mind is now made up. Then said Harbona, one of the chamberlains that was before the king, behold also the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman has made for Mordecai, who spoke good for the king, stands in the house of Haman. And the king said, hang him thereon. So they hanged Haman, Kafetath, on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath assuaged. Was it Ahasuerus' wrath? Chapter 8, verse 1 in Hebrew. Vayom ha'hu natan ha'melech Ahasuerus Esther Hamalka et Bet Haman Kafetath Tzorer HaYehudim Umardechai Balifne Hamelech Ki Higida Esther Mahula. On that day did the king Ahasuerus give the house of Haman, the Jew's enemy, unto Esther the queen. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what he was unto her. And the king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it unto Mordecai. And Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. Kafetath. And Esther spoke yet again before the king, and fell down at his feet, and besought him with tears to put away the mischief of Haman the Agagite, and his device that he had devised against the Jews. Then the king held out to Esther the golden scepter. So Esther arose and stood before the king. And she said, if it please the king, and if I have found favor in his sight, and the thing seems right before the king, and I be pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to reverse the letters devised by Haman, Kafetath, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, which he wrote to destroy the Jews that are in all the king's provinces. This verse is very famous because of the idea of the reversal. In your life, in nations' lives, everything seems as to go as planned, and then it reverses. It stops, it changes. the plans go awry, as the adage says, the plans of mice and men often go astray. The reversal is a tool of Hashem that he has given us. Always, the enemy of the Jewish people will make plans, and they will always be reversed. For how can I endure, verse 6, how can I endure to see the evil that shall come unto my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? Then the king Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen and to Mordecai the Jew, Behold, I am given Esther the house of Haman, and him they have hanged upon the gallows, because he laid his hand upon the Jews. Write ye also concerning the Jews as it likes you, and you in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring, for the writing which is written in the king's name, and sealed with the king's ring, may no man reverse. Then were the king's scribes called at that time, in the third month, which is the month of Sivan, on the 23rd day thereof. And it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded, concerning the Jews, even to the satraps, and the governors, and the princes of the provinces, which are from India unto Ethiopia, 127 provinces, unto every province according to the writing thereof, and unto every people after their language, and to the Jews according to their writing, and according to their language. What did Mordecai write? What we were told in the previous verse is once the king of Persia signs something with his ring and seals it, it cannot be changed. Even the king cannot change his mind. So what did Mordecai write to stop the slaughter of the Jewish people? He gave them permission to defend themselves. But that's concealed, just like everything else in the scroll of Esther. The children of Israel always may defend themselves. But people don't think we can. All those 2,000 years where we didn't defend against the pogroms was all about that issue. Verse 10, and they wrote in the name of King Ahasuerus, and sealed it with the king's ring, and sent letters by posts on horseback, riding on swift steeds that were used in the king's service, bred of the stud, that the king had granted the Jews that were in every city to gather themselves together, and to stand for their life, to destroy and to slay, and to cause to perish all the forces of the people and province that would assault them, their little ones and women, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. Upon one day in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, namely upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, the copy of the writing to be given out for a decree in every province was to be published unto all the peoples, then that the Jews would be ready against that day to avenge themselves on their enemies. So the posts that rode upon swift steeds that were used in the king's service went out, being hastened and pressed on by the king's commandment. And the decree was given out in Shushan, the castle. And Mordecai went forth from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white, and with a great crown of gold, and with a robe of fine linen and purple. And the city of Shushan shouted and was glad.
Out, he killed us.
The Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. You think there's a connection between the four things that are mentioned here? Light and gladness, joy and honor. These are really related to Hashem's four-letter name. And in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had gladness and joy, a feast and a good day. And many from among the peoples of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews was fallen upon them. And this happens many times when the reversal takes place. People who are sensitive to the process wake up and decide to convert. Chapter 9, verse 1 in Hebrew. Uvishneim asar hodeshu chodesh adar bishlosha asar yom bo asher higia devar hamelech vedato leheasot bayom asher sibru oyeve ha-yehudim lishlot bahem benachapoch hu asher yishletu ha-yehudim hema bisnehem. Now in the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, on the 13th day of the same, when the king's commandment and his decree drew near to be put in execution, in the day that the enemies of the Jews hoped to have rule over them, whereas as it was turned to the contrary, that the Jews had rule over them that hated them. And the Jews gathered themselves together in their cities throughout all the provinces of King Ahasuerus to lay hand on such as sought their hurt. And no man could withstand them, for the fear of them was fallen upon all the peoples. And all the princes of the provinces, and the satraps, and the governors, and they that did the king's business helped the Jews, because the fear of Mordecai was fallen upon them. For Mordecai was great in the king's house, and his fame went forth throughout all the provinces, for the man Mordecai waxed greater and greater. And the Jews smote all their enemies with the stroke of the sword, and with slaughter and destruction, and did what they would unto them that hated them. And in Shushan, the castle, the Jews slew and destroyed 500 men. And Parshadanta and Dalphon and Agapatha and Poratha and Adalia and Aridata and Parmashta and Arisai and Aridae and Vaisata, the 10 sons of Haman, the son of Hammedata, the Jews' enemy, slew they, but on the spoil they laid not their hand. That process of those 10 names. In the Hebrew, you will see a small letter, three small letters, actually. The letters are Kaf, Shin. It's four letters. Taf, Shin, Mem, Chet. My mistake. It's three letters. Taf, Shin, Chet. Stands for the year 5,708. That is the year 1948 in the Gregorian calendar. And there is a story that can be looked up on the internet if you want. about the 10 Nazis who had been declared to be hung by the Nuremberg trials. And they were hung by that. And one of the men, one of the Nazis, yelled out, "Purimfest 1948. The Scroll of Esther was written before the Common Era. It was written about 500 years before the Common Era. The three letters give us the year. You can accept this as truth. You can say it's coincidence. Or you can understand that there is Hashem, and he is in control of the world. Verse 11. On that day, the number of those that were slain in Shushan, the castle, was brought before the king. And the king said unto Esther the queen, "The Jews have slain and destroyed 500 men in Shushan, the castle, and the 10 sons of Haman. What then have they done in the rest of the king's provinces? Now whatever they petition, it shall be granted thee, and whatever they request further, it shall be done." Then said Esther, "If it pleases the king, let it be granted to the Jews that are in Shushan to do tomorrow also according unto this day's decree, and let Haman's 10 sons be hanged upon the gallows." And the king commanded it so to be done, and a decree was given out in Shushan, and they hanged Haman's 10 sons. And the Jews that were in Shushan gathered themselves together on the 14th day also of the month of Adar, and slew 300 men in Shushan, but on the spoil they laid not their hand. And the other Jews that were in the king's provinces gathered themselves together and stood for their lives, and had rest from their enemies, and slew of them that hated them 75,000. But on the spoil they laid not their hand. On the 13th day of the month of Adar, and on the 14th day of the same, they rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness. But the Jews that were in Shushan assembled together on the 13th day thereof, and on the 14th thereof, and on the 15th day of the same, they rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness. Therefore do the Jews of the villages that dwell in the unwalled towns make the 14th day of the month of Adar a day of gladness and feasting, and a good day, and of sending portions one to another. Do you know what today is? The 14th day of Adar. And Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters unto all the Jews that were in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus, both nigh and far, to enjoin them that they should keep the 14th day of the month of Adar and the 15th day of the same yearly, the days wherein the Jews had rest from their enemies, and the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to gladness, and from mourning into a good day, that they should make them days of feasting and gladness, and of sending portions one to another, and gifts to the poor. And the Jews took upon them to do as they had begun, and as Mordecai had written unto them. Because Haman, Taf Hey Taf, the son of Hammedata, the Agagite, the enemy of all the Jews, had devised against the Jews to destroy them, and had cast lots, that is the lot, to discomfit them and to destroy them. But when she came before the king, he commanded by letters that his wicked device, which he had devised against the Jews, should return upon his own head, and that he and his son should be hanged on that gallows. Wherefore they called these days Purim, after the name of Pur. Therefore, because of all the words of this letter, and of that which they had seen concerning this matter, and that which had come unto them, the Jews ordained and took upon them, and upon their seed, and upon all such as joined themselves unto them, so as it should not fail, that they would keep these 2 days according to the writing thereof, and according to the appointed time thereof every year. And that these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation, every family, every province, and every city, and that these days of Purim should not fail from among the Jews, nor the memorial of them perish from their seed. Then Esther the queen, and the daughter of Abihail, and Mordecai the Jew wrote down all the acts of power to confirm this second letter of Purim. And he sent letters unto all the Jews to the 127 provinces of the kingdom of Ahasuerus, with the words of peace and truth, to confirm these days of Purim in their appointed times, according as Mordecai the Jew and Esther the queen had enjoined them, and as they had ordained for themselves and for their seed the matters of the fastings and their cry. And the commandment of Esther confirmed these matters of Purim, and it was written in the book. Chapter 10, first verse in Hebrew. V'yasem ha-melech Achashverosh Masal ha-aretz v'yiyeh hayam. And the king Achashverosh laid a tribute upon the land and upon the isles of the sea, and all the acts of his power and of his might, and the full account of the greatness of Mordecai, how the king advanced him as they had not written in the book of the chronicles of the kings of Media and Persia. For Mordecai the Jew was next unto King Ahasuerus, and great among the Jews, and accepted of the multitude of his brethren, seeking the good of his people, and speaking peace to all his seed. That is the Megillah Esther. That is the revelation of the concealed name of Hashem. Are there any questions? A few announcements. Tomorrow morning will be the second reading of the Megillah done by the rabbi here in the synagogue. It will be at 11:30 a.m. and it will be in Hebrew. And it won't be with the commentary that you just heard. Saturday on Shabbat at 10 a.m., we have services here in the synagogue. And everyone is welcome. Monday at 4 p.m., I will begin teaching about the holiday of Pesach, which is exactly 30 days away. There's a lot of things to know, a lot of things we think we know from previous years. You're going to be very surprised. 4 p.m., 4 in the afternoon. No more than an hour each. We'll do it every week for the 4 weeks. And there are other rituals that I will announce in those classes if you're interested, because all of the Torah, all of what I just gave you, what is all we read, even though it was in English, was about receiving energy, positive energy, joyful energy. As it said, light and joy, and my memory doesn't remember the other two words. But this is what Judaism is about: energy, metaphysical energy that we can receive in order to manifest in the physical world. Chag Sameach, happy holiday. Purim Sameach. Thank you. Yes. Right here, I said it. All right. My hearing doesn't work well either. To you on the conference call, are there any questions? Shalom Gadol.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Shalom. Thank you. Boxamak.